sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries, and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this sixth day of February 2026. And tonight... Friday night. It's Friday night, folks. You know what that is? Well, that's in the past. I'll tell you what. You know, you've heard about the Ghostbusters? Well, we've got Mighty Andrew. We brought him back because Friday night was Poltergeist night. Poltergeist, I guess. But we brought him back, and he's the demon demolisher. And that's why there's only one thing mightier there in our studio, and that's prayer. And when it comes to prayer, who's standing against the dark forces of evil? He's a modern day hero of the faith, Big John McTurnan. So welcome to the program, fellas.
God bless you, Pastor Ernie, and all our listeners. May it be a great night today in Jesus' glory.
Amen. We'll start off with prayer. Hey, are you there, Mighty Andrew?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Okay, so I know you're standing, the guardian, standing there at the door, keeping the Democrats out. All right. Anyhow, we have time. We got to get right into the program tonight, and we're going to start with Scripture, which is Romans chapter 8, and talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things in our life, right? So, Big John, are you ready to go there to Romans chapter 8?
Romans 8? Yeah. I am there. What verse, Pastor Ernie?
Starting with verse 1.
Okay.
You want to take it a verse at a time?
Sure.
All righty.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
So that condemnation, that means judgment, that we're not those that walk after the Spirit. Once we're born again, our sins are forgiven. What portion of our sins are forgiven?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it has to be 100%, because otherwise, with any of the guilt and penalty of sin on us, we couldn't be in God's presence.
So it has to be past, present, and future, huh?
Yeah, it would have to be. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Okay, so can you lose your salvation?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's Jesus dying for us, and if we are really saved, no.
You can't lose it because we don't keep it. The Bible says our salvation is kept in heaven, and it's sealed by Christ, and the Holy Spirit himself is the seal, huh?
Pastor Ernie, it's the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That redeems us from the penalty of sin.
So that blood of Christ, was that the most precious quantity of substance that ever existed?
Well, he was the only begotten, sinless, only begotten Son of God. He was without sin. And there had to be a penalty. Whoever sinned, there's a penalty. The wages of sin is death. That means separation from God from eternity. So what keeps us from that penalty of sin, from being separated from God, is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why you can't work your own way into heaven, Pastor Ernie.
So let me ask you this. What would be a greater miracle? A lowly sinner forgiven and given eternal life, or the creation of a planet or two planets out in the universe?
Well, the creation there, has no life, Pastor Ernie. It's just there. You can make another one. God can make another one. But individuals, God breathed the breath of life into us. And we have eternal either damnation or eternal life with God. So I don't think there's anything more precious than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus that reconciles us and that we can have eternal life. A person has eternity in them.
So having eternal life, being born again, then that has more value than the entire world, than owning this entire world, would you not say?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. What I want to add to this, with your line of questioning there, is we're created in God's image and likeness. So that makes us really special. That makes mankind really special because we're created in God's image and likeness.
Okay. Here, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the key word there is in the likeness of sinful flesh, because Jesus came in the flesh, but did he have any, was there any sin in his flesh?
Absolutely not. None.
And how is it, what was the reason that there was no sin in his flesh?
He was not born of Adam, Pastor Ernie.
All right, so he did not have a human father?
No, his father was the Holy Spirit.
All right.
And that's why he was sinless.
Okay, so he was conceived of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, right?
Right, right. And the word likeness is very interesting. It means like exactly in the likeness of sinful flesh. So if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked exactly like we do. His mannerisms, his movements, his everything about him was exactly like we were, but it says he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he didn't have sin, but he looked exactly like we would. You could not distinguish him from anyone else.
In fact, he was not one of these, how they describe people. These handsome men, what the women call the, what were they called? Not a Hulk. These really, really handsome, good-looking guys. The Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53 said he wasn't comely to look upon, huh?
Yeah, he was. I'm sure he wasn't homely because he would stand out if he was homely, and he wasn't. Physically extremely handsome because he would stand out that way. He just looked like a regular person, Pastor.
What category would you put us in? We're homely, not homely, just regular?
You?
Yeah.
Extremely handsome Pastor Ernie.
All right, there you go. All right. So you get a compliment if you know how to fish for one, right?
Now,
all right. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That Grammy Award, were they after the flesh or were they after the Spirit?
Oh, flesh.
So you would say that when Justin Bieber sang a song in his underwear, that was definitely, he was definitely in the flesh.
Well, by what you described, I say yes. I don't know. I don't know anything about that, Pastor Ernie.
Oh, he went out there and did his thing in his underwear, just a pair of boxer shorts, all he was wearing. And of course, to those people, that seemed okay. Then you had two whores there. One of them was topless, and the other one, I don't even want to go there. Okay.
It's good not.
For to be carnally, pardon?
That's purely flesh.
Yeah. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you think those people understood any of that?
Well, if they're carnally minded, of course not. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's where your mind is focused on. Are you focused on the things of this earth and without God in it? Or to be spiritually minded, that's the things of Jesus Christ and the things of God, the things, you know, of eternal life. So that's the contrast. There's a contrast there.
Okay, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when you have a born-again believer, let's just say someone that is really saved, for sure, but backslides and becomes with a carnal mind, how does God deal with a person like that?
I would say, Pastor Ernie, there may be moments when they're happy and things of the world satisfy them, but they become basically miserable.
Well, if you grieve the Holy Ghost, he's going to grieve you back, isn't he?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There'll be no joy. There'll be no. Depression might set in. Anxiety. You know, that's all the result of this problems there. It's, you know, carnal mind.
Okay, so if you're a professing Christian, and you've been making that, and yet you're acting carnally, how does God deal with you according to Hebrews chapter 12?
A chastening.
And how severe can that chastening be?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I imagine it could be like maybe unto death.
Okay. Is the chastening, well, you're right, it's what it says, even, to the point where you would be beaten, even to the point of death. But is it because of one professing to be Christian and then acts like a Democrat, does that bring dishonor to God?
Oh, yeah. If we believe in the Lord, our life has to match that, Pastor Ernie. Otherwise, we bring disgrace to his name. If we say that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ and we're living in, you know, terrible sin, I mean, how it confuses people, and it's just flat out wrong. So the Lord will deal with people try and get them out of that and get them back on the right track with the Lord. But at some point, if they don't, he has to bring judgment in.
Okay, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So when you to place up crowns in heaven for the Bema Seat judgment, do we do that by pleasing God or not?
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. Yeah.
He goes on to say, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God." Listen to this, because this is in one verse here. Listen to this. For you Jehovah's Witnesses, pay close attention. For the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So in this verse you have the Spirit of God, and what the next it's referred to is the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of Christ is referred to as the Spirit of God, huh?
Yes. Yes, that's pretty powerful there. They're interchangeable.
Yeah. And so,
because Pastor Ernie, without the Holy Spirit, what other Spirit could Jesus have?
Well, he wouldn't. That is the Spirit of God, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. So the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God.
And we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, when he refers to God the Father, refers to God the Son. And God the Father calls God the Son my God, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That kind of says all by it stands out by itself, huh? But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So let me ask you a question and see if you, because this could be a trick question, okay? But you're a pretty smart guy. Now, in the scripture, it talks about God the Father raising Christ from the dead, talks about the Holy Spirit raising Christ from the dead, and about Christ raising himself from the dead. So which one raised Christ from the dead, Father, Son, or Holy Ghost?
Well, all of them.
You're right, because God the Father gave the order. Jesus Christ did the work, and the Holy Ghost provided the power, huh?
Yeah, because God raised him from the dead, and that's the God there would be the God, you know, the Godhead. The Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when you go into John chapter 2, Jesus said that he was going to raise himself from the dead.
Yep, yeah. In 3 days, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he goes on to say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. All right. One of the things that people talked about is in the Garden of Eden, when the Lord told them that they could eat of all of the trees except for the one in the midst of the garden, because if you eat of that, you will surely die. And then here, you'll have people say, well, you see, Satan said, you won't die. You'll be like a god. You'll be like a god. You're not going to die. So there are those out there to say, well, you know, Satan was right. They didn't die. Did they die or not?
Yeah, Pastor, they died spiritually. Their spirit died. So they were separated from God after that. And then, it's interesting, this is a little maybe a little different way to look at it, but the Bible says one day to God is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is to God. And then they all died within one day, Pastor Ernie. You know, they all died within 1,000 years. But they did die spiritually, because you could see how that they lost that connection with God. They were afraid of God. They were before the Lord. They were, I think they were clothed with God's glory. And that departed from them, and now they were naked. They were ashamed. They didn't have any of that before sin.
Absolutely. I'm going to jump ahead to verse 28. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, there are people out there that believe that Jesus died for everyone, that Jesus died for everyone, okay? But Jesus didn't die for everyone. Had he died for everyone, everyone would be saved. God never fails. Now, was his blood sufficient to pay for those from all of mankind, past, present, and future? Yeah, the blood was sufficient to take away the sins of everyone. But it had to be applied. Now,
yes, that's the key. That's the key word, Pastor Ernie, applied.
Now, here he defines in these next verses exactly who it was that Christ died for. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. So those that he foreknew were the ones he died for. Those he foreknew, he died for those that he did predestinate to be conformed to the image. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So he died for those that he called. Them he justified, he also justified. So he died for them, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So he died for those that he glorified. What shall we then say, these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So was God for everybody, or was God for those that he glorified, justified, predestinated among the brethren?
Well, ultimately, Pastor Ernie, it is for those that you just mentioned. You know, because that's who Christ literally died for, those people.
Right. And had he died for everyone, everyone would be saved, then God, if he had died for everyone, then the Pope said, humanistically speaking, Christ, the last Pope said, Christ failed at Calvary. He failed.
Well, that was incredible. I mean, that was, I don't know, I couldn't put words on it. I mean, how far can you go in apostasy?
Yeah, that's...
Failed on the cross?
I don't know. I don't know how you could possibly go farther than that. I mean, that's got to be it. And we're up against the break. We'll be back right after this. No, wait a minute. Hold it. We don't. John, we're gonna switch here. We remember Pizzagate. We reported on Pizzagate. Well, guess what they found? And remember what we told people in Wiener's laptop when they had got the former Congressman Wiener's laptop. We told you that there was things on there that made New York City police. It made him sick. It made him throw up. And 7 of 9 police officers that watched the film and saw what was on there died within a year after seeing that. And that's kind of strange, isn't it? And so,
yeah, several of them committed suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, after seen that. There's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that's on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And who was involved? Hillary and her girlfriend, amongst others. Now, anyhow, so we're going to go and listen. But we exposed this way back when it was taking place. We were telling you, remember, we had to fight with the fake news media. The fake news media kept coming out and making light, laughing, making out like it was a big, big joke. And here, you know, we were telling people, when these people said, look, I want another slice of pizza. They had names for boys and little girls. They were talking about another child to molest and maybe even kill. This is happening, folks, and it's we're telling you about this. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And there are white hats fighting against it out there today. But go ahead and play that clip, Andy.
Happy that this is getting exposure. I'm happy the truth is finally coming out, because I don't believe we'll ever see justice unless this hit critical mass. Now it's hitting critical mass. So obviously I'm happy it's coming out, because I believe it will lead to justice. With that being said, the Epstein files that have come out, in my opinion, are 100 times worse than the Podesta emails. And the Podesta emails were horrendous. They were bad. But with these Epstein files, the millions of pages that have been released, this confirms a whole new level of evil and darkness. The Podesta emails, in my opinion, confirmed the pedophilia, and it confirmed the child sex trafficking. These emails confirm child sacrifice, murder, the cloning, the Dr. Mengele kind of experiments, the DNA experiments, the baby breeding, MK Ultra, you know. So this confirms, I think there's a bunch of topics that go under Pizzagate, which would be everything that I just said. But these emails validate that all that other stuff is real too, whereas the Podesta emails didn't. You know, in Hollywood, you're not allowed to get to a certain level of fame unless you're in the club and you do these kinds of things. And God forbid you speak out against it, they will destroy your career, and often they will just murder you. I mean, look at how many celebrities or musicians have tried to expose this, and they were murdered for it. I believe that there were dozens of them. You know, Avicii was trying to expose this. Anne H. was trying to expose this. Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington. There's been so many, and then they all end up dying in these suspicious deaths. So to become famous and successful in Hollywood, you have to be part of the club. And if you're not, they just won't allow you a certain amount of fame and wealth. And God forbid, you know, you become like us and you like blow the whistle on it. Forget it. They will not just blacklist you. They will probably try to kill you or just kill you. Like, yeah, look at her when she got into that car accident and, you know, she's on the gurney and look at her come out. She's clawing. Look at that. She's
and they reported
out.
She was
she
dead.
Knows they're trying to kill her.
They reported she was dead, and then she pops out of the body bag.
Yes, yes, you're right. And here's the thing. And then they were trying to say that she was intoxicated. She had a drug and alcohol problem. They say that about every single person they murder, right? Drug and alcohol. Well, there was someone that the person that saw her last, which would be 10 minutes before the accident, the person that saw her last, she was at some costume store. They said that she appeared completely sober. So she'd have to get wasted within 10 minutes. And then they had her car speeding down an alley. And as you and I know, WikiLeaks exposed that the intelligence agencies, the CIA, they have the ability to remote control your car. So that's what I believe happened to her. What is just as bad, or actually probably worse, believe it or not, than these Epstein files? Well, the evidence and the information on the Anthony Weiner laptop. The contents on the Anthony Weiner laptop prove that Hillary Clinton and associates were involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking of children. And there are videos on that laptop of them torturing children, trafficking children. They're supposed to be horrific. And I know you know the story, the NYPD.
Yeah, but yeah, let's repeat it. How many officers, I remember like 10 of the 12 that saw it, and I talked before they even killed them, to investigators, and they said people were vomiting. They said this laptop was the control thing. It was actually watching powerful people rape and kill kids and eat them, drink their blood, which is now in the emails, with Epstein saying, yeah, we're going to eat these kids. I mean, folks, exactly. And so that, and then who's Uma Abedin married to? Now it's Alexander Soros. Who is she married to? Wiener. So, and who is over that? Chuck Schumer. And again, New York. I mean, my God. So again, the real Epstein is Schumer.
Yeah. And so, so that's huge. And people don't know that Senator Grassley requested all the evidence and he was supposed to get delivered by December 28th. So he's, I believe that he's working on that disclosure. And I do believe that disclosure will happen. And
by the way, Grassley has been releasing the cover up of the laptop, the cover up of Hunter Biden's laptop. He has been releasing the Crossfire Hurricane, the Arctic Frost. He actually has been doing it. The problem is it goes nowhere because of Todd Blanche.
That's true. Well, when Comey got indicted, that was thrown out. But his indictment is tied to Comey covering up Hillary Clinton's emails and also covering up the contents that was on the Anthony Weiner laptop, because the NYPD had that case and they were ready to make arrests on that.
Yeah, I forget the number. How many? I think like 12 saw it. How many were dead? Almost all of them got killed.
I think it was 12, and they all died in suspicious deaths.
That's right. They all died. Sorry. Okay. All died. Yeah.
I think all of them, unfortunately. Well, 12. So that's a lot.
I was going for memory. Yeah, because it was 10, then it was the last two that got killed, too. Just like right. AFD is now up to like 50 AFD members in Germany. They're about to win. They all been killed in the last year. Plus 20.
One more thing I want to add about the Anthony Weiner laptop. So for anyone out there that still wants to say, oh, this is not true, it's a conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah. In 2018, the Inspector General's report cited that there was evidence found on Anthony Weiner's laptop proving that Hillary Clinton and Foundation, it specifically said the Foundation, meaning the Clinton Foundation, and crimes against children. So this was on the Inspector General's report that came out in 2018. It validated what I and you were talking about in 2016 in terms of what the NYPD found on that laptop. So this is not like a conspiracy theory. This is very real, and it's been documented in official government records.
And again, that was Hillary's blackmail laptop.
Well, it was Anthony Weiner's laptop, but what he did is, like, the story is, the rumor has it, that Anthony Weiner was mirroring it and everything on it.
Yeah, that's my sources said that it was being transferred to Hillary, and that's what she destroyed with the bleach stuff.
Yeah, when she destroyed all of her phones and then she bleached bit everything and, you know, she wiped everything and she was like wiped it with water cloth. But the rumor is that Anthony Weiner was mirroring everything. He got all the evidence on his laptop and he had it kept it in a file called life insurance. Well, why would he do that? Well, I'm sure he's fully aware that his wife is working for someone that loves to murder everyone or anyone that, you know, steps out of line. So I think that he was holding that as literal life insurance for himself.
Okay. We're back. And yeah, it seems like, you know, Hillary is an actual witch. She's an actual one of the spell casting witches. I was exposing the Clintons in 1990. We were telling you about this, folks. 1990, we were telling you. Now, when she spoke, she introduced herself as a witch. And that was aired on C-SPAN, aired it. Her witch name was Drusilla. And that is satanic. Now, here, when she called in on on this radio program, you could just hear the evil in her voice. I mean, you could just, but, and what happened, you know, I kind of got her, tweaked her a little bit, and she kind of really went off on us. I had to bleep her and bleep her and bleep her. Hillary is a very wicked woman. I mean, there's evil there, a lot of evil. John, what is it? I know it's satanic that could get them to wield such power. I know that it's blackmail, and I know that there's got to be some very, very, very powerful people, that they're blackmailing. Now, in the Epstein files, you know, there's a lot of names in the files. I mean, you know, a lot of names in there. I mean, But that doesn't mean that everybody was guilty. But now the Democrats wanted these files out, hoping that they could find it, a way to twist it in some way to turn it. And yet there's nothing in there on President Trump that they could use. They'd really try. I mean, but 99% of those that have been involved, those that were on his island, are all Democrats, aren't they?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. This is very confusing to me because Pam Bondi, one of the things Trump kind of, I'm going to say, campaigned on a little bit was the releasing about Epstein. And all of a sudden, when he was elected, I remember Bondi saying that, oh, it's on, the file's on my desk. The file's, do you remember that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, I sure do, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, there is no file. And Trump kind of drops any interest in it. And it got real suspicious like that. But the people kept on pressing and pressing and pressing. So finally, it's released, and there's nothing about Trump in it. And people, you know, we were thinking, maybe he's trying to hide something. What's Bondi doing? So this is really confusing.
Well,
I'll be finished in a second, Pastor.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are driving for this. We want it. We want this. We want. So then it's released, and it's all about them.
Yeah.
This is the most confusing, convoluted. I don't know. This is absolutely bizarre to me. Why wasn't Trump beating the drum to get it out right from all of the beginning, and Bondi, because it's nothing about the Republicans in it; it's all Democrats.
Well, you had another one of those federal judges, those black robe tyrants, say that you had to, before you could do that, that anyone in there that could be a victim, any of these women had to be, they had to have their, everything about them had to be redacted. There's 3 million pages. How could you have a file of 3 million pages on your desk? Okay.
How could you have a file of 3 million pages to start off with? Three million pages?
Yeah. There was 3 million pages in this file. So anyhow,
I think they let 1.5 million out so far. They're not all out yet. There's another batch coming.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. You know, Trump was doing big deals, making very large deals. See, and he wanted his attention. There's a midterms election coming up. You see, and Trump is going to go out there. They're going to have a midterm convention because the Democrats have got the momentum right now. They have the momentum because it's midterm. And I got to tell you, you have a lot of really stupid independent and Republicans. You really do. They stay home usually in the midterms. And this is one that they cannot. And here on all these primaries, the Democrats have been winning. They've got momentum. Now, Trump wanted to keep the attention on the things that he's doing. The economy, okay, all of these wars, these peace deals that he's done. They brought in over $16 trillion into our economy through the tariffs. All of these things, you know, that the good things, the positive things that he's doing, he wanted to focus on that. But the Democrats wanted to use the Epstein files to keep the focus off the good things. And you know, they have to lie. I mean, that's just part of their culture. Their makeup is to lie, okay? And so they kept trying to make it look like Trump was a major. You got pictures of Trump everywhere with Epstein. Well, yeah, that's when Trump was a Democrat himself. But he repented of being a Democrat. And in fact, Epstein, in some of those emails, said that two things. He said he was going to get even with Trump. Trump's the one that turned him in. And also, talking to that fellow Fox or whatever his name was, when he said, you know, what do we have on Trump? And Epstein told him, we have nothing. He doesn't, we can't get anything on him, okay? That's right in there. But you're not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, are you?
No, no, you don't, Pastor Ernie. That's why this whole thing is so... was it Epstein or someone with writing in his emails there said that Trump was an informant for the government?
Yeah, actually, Epstein was working with the CIA. He was one of the CIA operatives. And so, it was Trump that did turn Epstein in for trying to seduce or recruit young girls, underage girls. And so we have another part of this clip. Let's go to the other part of this clip. Go ahead.
What you have to understand is that, you know, when you look at Pizzagate, you have to look at all the pieces to understand that, yes, they indeed are rape, torturing, and trafficking children. So they're using a known pedophile code word, which, by the way, has been confirmed by the DOJ, tons of police departments, the FBI. So this is not a conspiracy theory. Pizza is 100% a confirmed pedophile code word. So they're using pedophile code words, number one. And then you have people using these pedophile code words running what appear to be, you know, password protected child porn sites. And then you look into the other emails and you find out, oh, they're attending spear cooking dinner. So let me do a Google search and see what spear cooking dinners are. And then you realize that their spear cooking dinners are literal satanic rituals where they do a ritual involving blood, semen, and breast milk. And then they cut their finger, they drink the blood, and they do this with satanic witch Marina Abramovic. You know, and at these dinners, they're cannibal themed. And then, you know, as you mentioned earlier, then you look at all the connections between, you know, Podesta, Hillary Clinton, and trafficking, like Laura Silsby, the trafficking with the Clinton Foundation, their ties to Epstein. And then you take it a step further and you look at their art. You look at John Podesta's art. You look at Tony Podesta's art. Well, what kind of art did they have in their homes? They had pedophilic art all over the home. Tony Podesta had pedophile art all over his home. John Podesta had cannibalism art depicted in his Hillary Clinton campaign office. Yeah. Now that this sculpture, okay, the gold sculpture, that is supposed to be mocking one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims that was beheaded. But then the other ones, the other paintings are the pedophile art. Yeah. So when you add all these pieces up together, it's just you can't deny that these people are clearly involved in rape, torture, and trafficking children. So.
And you have that 2007 magazine put out by the Washington Post about, you know, radical, yeah, dangerous art. And it's showing what looks like 4-year-old kids tied up wearing red shoes, paddled with their butts red in what looks like torture dungeons. I can show you an overhead shot of here, and then you've got like demons having sex with kids. But this is what is what they put out in the Washington Post, and you know, babies being cut up, eating all this stuff, children in chairs tied up, all this stuff. I mean, and then you've got the very people wearing the red shoes. What's the red shoes mean?
Well, the red shoes allegedly is made from the skin of infants and babies.
Wow.
So, you know, and then a lot of these Hillary Clinton associates, by the way, they openly promote pedophilia on their social media pages. There's a bunch of them, you know, tied to Hillary Clinton or the people that were working at or involved in Balenciaga. Like that art you see, there's a lot of them that would literally just post pictures of kids in satanic rituals or kids tied up all over their social media pages. You know, and then you like look further and you look at some of their celebrity friends like Chrissy Teigen, who openly promoted pedophilia on, back then it was Twitter, on Twitter, and like dozens of tweets for years, just openly promoting pedophilia. And there's a ton of other celebrities that have done the same thing. Patton Oswalt, James Gunn. I mean, these people have not hidden who they are or what they're doing. They have flaunted it. They have thrown it in our faces for years.
And let's be clear, but back at Pizzagate time, we had official, we show these FBI manuals saying this means that, this means this, yes. Pizza means this, this means that. And then they're using those very codes in the WikiLeaks and in these new emails that they're old, but just came out. It's all right there.
So if you look at this FBI memo with the you saw like the swirl and the triangle within the triangle, those are FBI identified pedophile symbols, logos. So when you look at some of their businesses, their nonprofits, or just again, back to their social media, on their social media pages, you will see these people flaunt these images all the time. Jimmy Kimmel actually did a skit on his show where he had that FBI identified pedophile symbol in a skit about pizza being delivered.
And
so they're not hiding it, Alex. They haven't hid it yet. Here we go. Here we go.
I mean, let's be clear. If somebody, I learned about this like 20 years ago, has an upside down pineapple on their mailbox or on their door, or a woman's wearing that around her neck, you know, at a resort anywhere. And I didn't, the reason I learned about this was like probably 20 years ago. I'm in Cancun, a decent, nice resort. And this guy and his wife come over and they're saying, "Hey, you guys like pineapple and stuff." And I didn't know what it meant. And she was wearing an upside down pineapple deal. I later looked it up. I was like, "Oh, they wanted to swing." And we were like, "Wow, pineapple, yeah. What? So, now that's a huge thing. Most people, I guess, know, but so that's for adults, though. So it's the same thing. Like the upside down pineapple is a symbol that we swing. These symbols are we rape kids.
Yeah, and they flaunt it. I mean, and here's another thing. So the whole mainstream media covered this up, as you know. The entire mainstream media covered this up. They said it was a debunked.
And they picked me to say that I put it out. I just covered CNN reporting on 4chan and 8chan that we now know we're working with Jeffrey Epstein in the new emails.
Right. Well, what happened to CNN? They had multiple producers get arrested for attempting to rape children and or child porn. There has been actually several mainstream media journalists or producers or editors that have been arrested for pedophilia since 2016. And all of them worked for networks or publications that said Pizzagate is a hoax. And there was one reporter in particular, my favorite, who mocked Pizzagate, and he called himself Dr. Pizza. His Twitter handle was Dr. Pizza. And he mocked
Pizzagate. There's also been sex ed teachers famously in schools around the country that teach sex ed that's all about pizza parties. And look at this, former ABC investigative journalist pleads guilty to child pornography charges. He was the guy out debunking it all.
Yeah, he actually has his byline on a story that fully says Pizzagate is a debunked conspiracy theory. And he worked for ABC, and that's the same network that covered up for Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, scratched the Amy Robach's report.
So were you having flashbacks when all these new emails came out? So many new ones are coming out. I'm getting new ones right now where it's Jeffrey Epstein. Clearly, they're delivering children. Clearly, oh my. Some of the people are like, "Wow, I'm seeing shadows and scared. I'm not coming again." They're like, "Well, this isn't for everybody." Ha, ha, ha. So you've also got people like, "Whoa, I shouldn't have done this." Others are like, "Oh, that was so great. Can we do it again?"
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's very traumatizing to read this stuff. I mean, it's hard to read this and not be traumatized, not have PTSD. And I've been doing this for so long. I've been able to do this for so long, though, because I learned to train my brain to just completely shut off emotions while I'm researching it. And if I didn't teach myself how to do that, I wouldn't be able to cover this for so long.
Yeah, that's what surgeons do. You've got to be like the Buddhists say, exactly. Basically detached.
So, you know, obviously I'm happy that this is getting exposure. I'm happy the truth is finally coming out, because I don't believe we'll ever see justice unless this hit critical mass. Now it's hitting critical mass. So obviously I'm happy it's coming out because I believe it will lead to justice. With that being said, the Epstein files that have come out, in my opinion, are 100 times worse than the Podesta emails. And the Podesta emails were horrendous. They were bad. But with these Epstein files, the millions of pages that have been released, this confirms a whole new level of evil and darkness. So we are going beyond.
By the way, let me stop.
Alrighty, we're back. And You know, John, we've been talking about this when this whole thing came out, and of course we were attacked right away by the fake news media out there talking about that this was all conspiracy theory stuff. Well, obviously they were going to do that because so many of them are involved in that. And here, let me ask you a question. What do you think it would have been like had Hillary won the election in 2016? What would our society be like today?
Well, Mr. Ernie, it would be undescribed. Well, it would be very similar to, like, Joe Biden, only she would have her own, what do you call them? I don't clan, her own ilk. But, yeah, I mean, I in some areas it would be worse than with Joe Biden. But we can't get much worse than Biden, Pastor Ernie.
Biden was bad. Biden was a pedophile himself. He was the worst president this country ever had. He was actually worse than Obama. But of course, Obama was the one that was pulling his strings behind him.
Yeah, and Biden was, his job was to destroy America.
Absolutely. And it was almost like, you know, he changed his position for all those years as a senator. His positions on so many different issues totally reversed themselves. Totally reversed themselves. And here, he went from when he was a senator for the longest time, he was involved. He was very anti-black. He was very anti-black person. And then he changed from that to being anti-white. Anti-white people. Everything he stood for when he was very, very, when he was a senator for closed borders, deporting illegals, then he turned 100 around and brought in all of the rapists, the murderers. And by the way, there were eight, let's see, 8,000 800 and something, or was it, yeah, murderers so far that have been caught and deported out of our country. So you don't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. So all of what they're saying.
They're desperate for some issue that they can get the public to rally around. So this is, like, bizarre. The vast majority of the people that ICE is arresting are criminal, hard criminals, illegal aliens. And they're trying to present them as family members, families, and all honest people. I mean, they are not telling the public the truth. And the public that listens to their media, and they don't listen to media like this, they're swallowing it, Pastor Ernie.
I know that. I know.
This is like COVID-19 all over again.
This is why we keep trying to tell people they really got to get involved. We're living in this is the time. You know, the Bible says to run to the battle, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And we keep trying to tell people, you know, this is the time to get involved, and yet, you know, I'm really concerned about the ignorance and apathy. We're coming up to a break. The question is, why did they fire Ed Martin? What did Ed Martin know? We'll find out when we come back from the break.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.